Father, in the good times and in the bad times, thank you that you are worthy of our time and of our attention, and you're worthy of our praise. Father, in your grace and kindness, I pray this morning that you'd open our ears to hear your word, open our hearts for it to kind of land deeply, and may we live changed lives as a result of your praise. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please sit down, grab a Bible behind you, in front of you, beside you. And turn to, please, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's in the Old Testament, page 177. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Page 177. It's probably a part in your Bible that looks like really, like it's not been used a lot. Our Bible's really fresh in the book of Deuteronomy. Maybe that's a teaching series that we need to do in the next few months. Okay. I believe that exercise is good for your health. Anybody else believe that?
Yes.
Okay. I believe that it's good if you can to save for a rainy day. Anyone else believe that? I believe that eggs are evil. Does anyone else believe that? Only my husband? And Sarah as well. Amen. Okay. What we believe, what I believe, affects how I live my life. So with those things, what I do with my time, what I do with my money, what I consume for a snack or for a meal. Now we're starting a new series called We Believe. We're going to be looking at core beliefs of followers of Jesus. Now, this might be brand spanking new to you, and maybe if you're here thinking, I don't even really understand what's gone on in church up until this point, it's okay. Maybe this is old news for you, and so let it be a refresher course for us. But you know, our hope as a preaching team, I think I'm speaking on their behalf, this might be a bit dangerous now because I've not checked with them. Our belief, our hope is that as we look at the We Believe series, that we will grow in our understanding of who God is. We'll grow in our understanding of what we believe. But more than that, we will grow in maturity in how we live our lives towards God. So last week, Malcolm talked about God being the start and the end, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And so that's where we're going to start today. So the first kind of core belief for followers of Jesus, hopefully this won't be a surprise to you, is we believe in one true God who lives eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, now to help us this morning, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 to 12. But before we do that, let me just set a bit of the context. So Moses is leading the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. Their unfaithfulness towards God has meant that they've wandered around the desert for 40 years. And now they've got Canaan, the promised land, in their sight. And Moses is preparing them with central truths for them to build their lives on as they make a new home without him. And so Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 12. If you're willing and if you're able, please stand as we read. You can grab your Bible and stand up with you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kind of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord
who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Amen.
Please take a seat, just to keep the blood, like flowing on a hot day. Okay, so let's look at verse 4. So the Hebrew of verse 4 means that that verse that seems quite simple can be translated into a couple of ways. And so we're going to look at a couple of ways that that can be translated this morning. So anyone know who this is? Shout it out.
Chesley.
Catherine is a fan. Wow. Okay, so this is Chesley Hawkes. So I believe that Simon used Chesley Hawkes a couple of weeks ago as an illustration.
Joyously.
I mean, I know the songs of Chesley Hawkes, but when the picture went up, I was like, who knows that? So anyway, the good news about having younger people on a preaching team is we can move things into the 21st century. So let's use Adele. Okay, so Adele, one and only. Okay, so Canaan, the land that the Israelites were going to be walking into, was filled with many gods and lots of lovely things. And before stepping foot inside of it, God is reminding his people, I'm not one amongst the gods in that land. I am your one and your only. See, God knew the fickle nature of the human heart and how quickly our hearts can turn away from him and towards the gods around us. And so as the Israelites were going to live in a land full of gods and full of beautiful things, full of gods made out of wood and made out of stone. And as they lived in houses, look at verse 10 and 11, that they'd never built, eating from vineyards that they didn't plant, when slavery in Egypt seemed such a long way away, God is saying, remember me. Remember that I am your one and your only. Enjoy the gift and the gifts that there are in that land, but don't forget the giver of the gifts. And so God is saying to his people, when the people in your new home ask you, who is your God? This is what you can reply, verse 4. The Lord and the Lord alone is our God. See, God's saying to his people before they even move in, that actually, guess what? I am your one and only. Remain faithful to me. I'm not sharing my glory with any other idol or any other thing. Israel couldn't have God and the gods of the land that they saw before them when they entered in there. And that's why he says, verse 12, remember that your freedom and your salvation, they are from the Lord. They are from the Lord. Now, even though that was a long, long time ago, how relatable is that very message to us today? That we live in a world where we're surrounded by lots of gods and lots of things. I was having lunch with someone this week and they said that they've like come to realise that people are constantly chasing after the house, the family, the car, the job, the career, the security, the power, the wealth, the list goes on, but that will never, ever satisfy. And the human heart is always running towards something hidden, isn't it? Always looking for something or someone to love. And actually for us too, in a culture where it says anyone or anything can be your God, anything can be your higher power, you do you and that's fine, God responds, I am your one and your only. And why does he say that? He says, I'm your one and only because of who he is. So another way of translating verse 4 is this, the Lord is one. See, he's communicating to his people that there's not loads of him, there's not 8 or 9 or 10 of him. He's not saying to them that there's lots of me, he's saying, I am one. Now that would have been a central truth in the Old Testament. That would have even been up for debate. There was a core understanding in the Old Testament that God was unique, that there was none like him. He existed before all things and was in all things. The Lord is one. I have my egg here, which I hope you appreciate as somebody who hates egg, that this is quite a big thing to use as an illustration. Okay, so the Lord your God, he is one. But for us, sometimes it doesn't feel that kind of simple because we read about
Here we go. Drum roll, please. We read about God the Father. And we read about God the Son, Jesus. And we read about the Holy Spirit. And yet we hear God is one. When we do that kind of maths, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Certainly when I went to school, but 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. The maths do add up, and we're just going to kind of look at really briefly how that is the case. Okay, so the Lord your God is one. So like a cord of 3 strands that make together to make a rope or a heavier cord, weave together in perfect unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in complete unity, in complete oneness. They're in relationship with one another. And it's so easy for us, not for the people there in Deuteronomy, listening to the words of Moses, but for now to think, okay, so God the Father, he was the God of the Old Testament. Jesus was the God of the New Testament. And the Spirit, he come after Jesus and done something. And it's so easy to separate them out. But Scripture says, the Lord your God, he is one. And so if you look at the Old Testament, before the creation of the world, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. As God spoke, God the Father, let there be light. And there was light. One God. And God filled people in the Old Testament with his Spirit. See, that just didn't happen in Acts after Jesus has died and rose again and gone up to heaven. It was present in the Old Testament. There's this guy called Bezalel who was anointed to have what he needed to create the tabernacle. One God. That was Exodus 31. In Judges 6, we read about a man called Gideon, and it says that the Holy Spirit clothed him so that he could become a mighty warrior, one God. The Holy Spirit came on Saul and he started prophesying in 1 Samuel 10:10, one God. And then when you flip to the New Testament, there's so many examples. Jesus himself in John chapter 14 saying, if you know me and if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, and yet one God. Jesus tells his disciples that the Father will send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, Son, Spirit, one God. And then at Jesus' baptism, I know that we've done about this in our DBS groups as well, so if you're new, you might even know this. That as Jesus went into the water and came out, so God the Son being baptized in water, the Spirit of the living God descended upon Jesus, and the Father spoke in a voice that said, that is my Son, whom I love, in him I'm well pleased. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. And Jesus' last words on earth, some of his last words in Matthew 28, commanding his disciples, when you baptize believers, do it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. 3 different persons. 3 different roles, the Father enthroned in the heavens, Jesus coming to earth, pointing the way, rising up out of the tomb, having been there for 3 days after he died on the cross, and the Spirit again just pointing the way to the Father, opening the eyes of the people, empowering the church, Father, Son, and Spirit, yolk, egg, and shell, all egg, each thing, egg shell, egg yolk, egg white, all one thing. If you remember nothing else, this is a really limited example, but God is 3 in 1. 3 persons, 3 different roles, working together in unity, complete unity. But they're not the same. If one's missing, they're not the same. Nate often says, oh, Mum, I don't like an egg yolk. But if you took the egg yolk out of the egg, it wouldn't actually be an egg. You'd be like, well, I don't know if you can buy a yolkless eggs nowadays, probably. But the fact is, you need all 3 components for that to truly be an egg. Father, Son, and Spirit to truly be God. Hopefully you've got that. Okay, so Moses is speaking to the people. And he speaks that truth that I'm going to be your one Lord, if you understand that as an interpretation and a translation for that time. And he also says, I am going to be one because I am one. And then he says, in response to that, there's a response to it. Look at verse 5. God is saying he's one. And he has a call for us, for them, to love God. See, the Lord had already rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt. He had revealed his name to them, that he is Yahweh. And he's leading them to a new home. That in and of itself should be enough for them to have gratitude and love overflowing for what God had done for them. Look at verse 5. God says to his people, you're to love me with absolutely everything. Love me with your heart, the core of your absolute being. Love me with your soul, who and what you are. Love me with your strength, like no holding back. If you play sport, leave everything on the field. Don't hold back. Everything that you've got, love me with it. Every fibre of your being. Not a sentimental kind of love, but a love that it takes all of who we are. A united love, a single-minded love, a strong and a sincere love. And then God goes on. He doesn't just say, love me, and then goes on to the next thing. He kind of outlines to his followers, to his children, this is how you do it. So look at verse 7. How could the people show God that they loved him by telling others? So it's verse 7. Impress them, these commands, on your children. Talk about them when you're sitting at home, when you're walking along the road, and when you're lying down, and when you get up. Tell other people. Talk about him. Keep telling the story. What else? Remembering him. Do all you can to remember this truth. Look at verse 8. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, if you've done any kind of RE at school, you've probably heard about these. The thing on the guy's forehead, phylacteries. Small leather boxes that Jewish people then and still even today wear, containing verses of scripture. And these verses are cited for Jewish people even today in the Shema, because it's so important that they remember it and keep it close to your head and close to your hands, fixing these words around my head and around my heart that I may not forget, putting them around the doorpost within which I live. For why? Verse 12, so you do not forget. Don't forget that I am one God and you are to love me with absolutely everything. And we read in the New Testament what loving God looks like. In John 1, loving God means keeping his commands. Doing kind of what he says. And that is such a beautiful circle, because loving God means keeping his commands. And we keep his commands because we love him. And the cry throughout all of scripture, sing to the Lord for all he has done, all the glorious things he's done. Let this be known to all the world, it says in Isaiah 12:5. We love God by worshipping, by praising him, by what we've been doing this morning, what we do when we're at home, by ourselves, what we do when we gather together. And so Christians believe in one God, revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what? So what? A lot of people believe in one God. Some people might even believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what do we, sitting here today, do with that? Well, let me say this. Our theology, which is like a nice term for our understanding of God, should always lead to worship. Our understanding of God should always lead to our hearts turning towards him. And I would say, if it doesn't, there's a problem. I went to, Bible college, and for a term, so for quite a few weeks, 10 weeks or something, we were looking at the Trinity. So that's the nice word for talking about God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And we were picking it apart, and we were looking at Bible, stuff in the Bible. We were looking about, you know, stuff that people had said way back in the day about who God was and stuff.
And I remember, like, at the end of the term, just thinking, like, now my head feels like a little bit scrambled. I understand, I think, a bit more of who God is, but it just felt like it was something a bit out there. It was, like, all in my head, all cerebral, didn't really have an impact upon my life. It didn't feel like, it's kind of like, I've done all this work, and actually, well, that's good to know, I guess. And our last lecture of that subject, our lecturer said, right, everyone get up, we're going to the chapel. So we all walked down to the chapel, what are we doing? Like, we've got an exam coming up, we've got an essay coming up, and he's taking us to the chapel. And we get into the chapel, and he'd organised for us to have a time of worship. And in that time, he picked, very clever man, he picked all songs that talked about God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all the words of the songs were like, God deserves our praise, God deserves our time, God deserves our attention, because he's holy, he's different. The Father deserves our worship, the Son deserves our worship, the Spirit deserves our worship. And I tell you what, I don't quite know what happened in that moment, but it was kind of like all this knowledge of God that I kind of built up about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sank a little bit to my heart. And I had a fresh revelation of like who God was, and actually a fresh desire that I want to love you, God, because I understand you a little bit more. And so that's my hope for us, that we're not just doing this series so that our brains get a little bit bigger. It'd be nice if it did, you know. It'd be nice if our understanding of God got a little bit greater. But my heart's desire is that as we understand more of who God is, it will lead us to love him so much more than we do today. And so do these verses, written ages ago, to a bunch of people that wasn't us, do they apply to us today? You bet they do. Because guess what? Jesus, in Mark 12, he gets asked, what's the greatest commandment? And what does Jesus say? He quotes verse 4, and verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6, and he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Friends, we ain't been rescued from slavery in Egypt, but if you follow Jesus, you've been rescued from darkness, and you've been brought out into light. And you're now in a relationship, a right relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so for us today, listen, if we understand that God is our one and our only God, then let me ask you, are you living like that is true? Or is your fickle heart winning the battle and making God a God of your own understanding? And is your heart running after things that isn't God? The shiny things in our land that are all around us and that want to gain our attention and gain our heart's desire. The Lord your God is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Regardless of whether you're a new believer or you've been a Christian for donkey's years, how do you relate to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you have an issue with like one of them? You think, actually, I've got issues with the Father, with God, so actually I'll concentrate on Jesus and the Holy Spirit because that's a little bit safer. Well, we were talking in Bible study this week, actually, some people, with the Holy Spirit, that's like an optional extra. We don't really need to include him in our conversation and in our life. Scripture's clear, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you love God the Father as much as you love God the Son and as much as you love God the Holy Spirit? One God to love. Are we loving him with everything that we've got, every fibre of our being? Are we doing what it says here in Deuteronomy 6? Are we talking about God when we're walking along the road and when we're in our homes? Parents, are we talking to our kids about who God is? Do we remember him like we've got those words of truth engraved in our minds and on our arms, like part of who we are? Are we living differently to the world around us, the way that God is asking the Israelites to when they go to their new home? Are we worshipping? Are we singing? Are we letting it be known to the whole world that the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has done glorious things in my life and for me and for you? Let's pray. We believe in the one true God who lives eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Good Shepherd Mission, friends, if you're visiting us today, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. God, I pray that this week, today, this month, that we will love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Even when we see the shiny gods all around us, help us to truly understand who you are. Give us fresh revelation of who you are this morning, Father, Son, and Spirit. In Jesus' name, for your glory.